Blog Talk Radio.
Don't forget, it's going down April 27th, 2014. Nonstop Media Superstar Sunday at Club Allure, 3302 Queens Boulevard. Special guest judges, Coco Chanel, Jazzy Joyce, Cuban Link. Our very own featured host for the featured acts, Rich Money. Our showcase host, Steph Lover, is going to be crazy. $1,000 in hard cold cash. Also get your chance to be put in a magazine, GQ Palace Magazine, and on the air, GQ Palace Radio with your host, Rich Money. It's going down. You don't want to miss this. It's Butterbean.
Welcome back to Reality and Relationships. See, this is why I tell you it's live radio, man. We had all type of things going on in the background. You know, to my Christian folks, to my Christian brothers and sisters, we know the devil is busy. He ain't want this message to get out, so he was like, nah, we got to put a stop to this. But we are back on the air. This is KL Belvin. You are listening to Reality and Relationships. And just want to say apologize for the little mishaps. And so those of you that were on, I hope you stayed on or you decided to call back. And so this way, I'm glad you hung in there with us. Now, I'm going to pick it up where we left off. I'm not going to start all over again because you guys that are in, that are listening, heard all that. You know, we're not going to go back. Plus, it gave me a couple minutes to wipe my eyes. I ain't going to lie. I got a little emotional, but it is what it is. Now, what I do want you to do, if you're listening in from your phone, if you want to talk or you want to come on and say something, just press the number one and let the host know that you're in and you want to speak to me, and I would gladly listen to what you have to say, because what we're going to talk about tonight, I'm going to finish explaining KL's birth, but then I also want to talk about, to the men, why do we leave our women alone when they're having our children? And ladies, how do you feel about them not being there? Definitely going to open up the floor. And ladies, feel free, you can jump ahead if you want to talk about the man not being there or your man being there. Let me hear about the experience, because I'm definitely going to explain to you how mine was. Okay, so like I said, to get back to where we were, July 5th. So when I found out, that we were with child, one of the things that we joked about was that I said, I know my grandmother went up there, saw God, thanked him for letting her come into the pearly gate, but then said, listen, I got a grandson down there, need a baby. And he said, ma'am, I done did so much, and I know she drove him crazy, that he said, okay, that's why it took 2 days. But it's okay, because you know what? It was a blessing. And Tiff and I were so excited that after all that time, all those prayers, all that argument, that we had finally got to the point that we were now with child. And the beautiful part about it is to have it happen in your 7th year of marriage, 7 years since we had lost a child. And 7 is a number of completion for. And I do always allude back to my faith. And those of you that are not of the faith, I'm not excluding you. I'm just explaining to you where I come from with my faith. And we believe in prayer. Tiff and I do believe in prayer. One of the things that we talk about when we go out and speak is that we explain that our faith anchors what we do. So to now be blessed with the child, to now be blessed with the opportunity to be stewards It was very emotional, and we were very excited. And so July and August were wonderful simply because it was like, it was now we can look forward to it. But then your feelings change because now it's how do we take care of this? How do we make sure everything is okay? And that's not easy. And so we had to start gearing up, and we started to let folks know, and folks was, of course, excited for us. And we know we have a lot of folks that follow what we do on Facebook. And so it was everything was going well. Well, the 1st of September, the first week of September, the second day of school, I'm taking Tiff to work. And that's when we found out that her mom had passed. And the way that we found out was through my Bluetooth in my truck, because the officer didn't know Tiff was sitting next to me and had the nerve to ask me, do you know Tiff's mother's name? And then she said the name, and here we are. Tiff was just emotional. And again, as the husband, my job is to take care of my wife. Here she is, stark. She's losing it, yelling and screaming. The first thing I did was pull the truck over, call my principal, and said, I won't be in today. I don't care. This is the second day of school. I'm going to get in trouble. I'm going to get in trouble. Now I got to try to find a way to calm my wife down. What do I do? The one thing I've learned is that sometimes in the most negative situation, humor works. Now, some people say, you got a sixth sense of humor. That's not a time to be joking. Yes, because if you allow the negative emotions or just the overwhelming emotions that you feel in crisis, it can crush some people. I'm at my best when there's crisis. I know a lot of people say that. I really am. Because then it allows the fact that I can think very quickly to really come to the forefront. So as we're pulling up, we see the police out. We see the police out near her mother's car. And I'm thinking, oh, so I make sure we drive past, we park, go in the house, the whole thing. And so when we're sitting there, we speak to the police officer. And basically, to fast forward, you learn about people when someone passes. You really get to see what some people are cut from and what some people are about, whether it's family or friends. And also what you see is how sometimes strangers can be so beautiful and so callous. Now, you see police outside a car with a sheet over someone inside the car. Come on, we know what that is. Let's not be stupid. They ain't put no sheet over somebody sleeping. So you walk up the block and see the sheets. You see the police. You look around and you see the only person who seems extremely emotional is the woman sitting behind me on the steps. So you go, did somebody die? So my thing was, instead of getting upset, I use humor. I go, somebody's dead? Yeah, it's her mom. Now the foot. Here it go. With the mustard, shoe go right in the mouth. I'm sorry. No, you're not. You was just being nosy, but you didn't think I was going to give it to you like that. But yes, it's a mother. Anything you want to say? I'm sorry. And they scurry on about their way. But this happened numerous times. But again, I was going to deflect it every time because I already knew what my wife was going through because I had just went through it a month before with my grandmother. So when the officer said, do you want to come down and take a look? I said, I'll go look. You stay here. And when I looked, I said, I'm definitely glad she didn't see her like this. So now we have this to deal with. And again, remember, our child is a month old inside her belly, and stress can create a problem. So again, I'm my job, the husband's job, the boyfriend's job, whoever that significant other's job is. Brothers, listen to me. Your job is to do whatever you can, short of breaking the law, to make sure that your woman is taken care of in that situation from beginning to end. We dealt with that. We had a wonderful homegoing party for her mother, and we were able to exercise those demons and keep it moving. So now the belly is growing. And all over these 10 months, we did all the things that parents are supposed to do. We prayed, we went to church, but now November came. I got baptized. And it was very important because I had said to the pastor in August, I needed to come back to church because I want to be connected to a church. I want my wife to be connected to a church. And I want our future baby to be connected to the church because we're faith-based people. When I got baptized, part of the reason why I wanted to get baptized is because I remember what my grandmother said to me, that it's my time to lead this family. Well, I can't lead this family without God's help. I can't take care of my wife without God's help. So for me, again, it's faith. But men, whatever you use to help anchor you down, to keep you in control of you, to take care of your family, do that. Consider that. So now as we get to this 41st week, and we're now fast forward back to the delivery room, but I'm not going to take you through the whole 10 months. So when I'm in that delivery room, my job is to make her as comfortable as possible. I'm joking with the nurses. I'm joking with the aides. I'm joking with everybody because I'm nervous inside. But I can't let that come out and transfer into my wife and then into my child. So I'm going to be the rock that she needs while she's going through this. So once we got there, the 15th of September, and they get her prepped and everything, we're in the room, we're relaxing. They said, we're going to have to induce. We're going to give you a medication. It takes about 12 hours. And at the end of the 12 hours, you should be 1 or 2 centimeters or we can get this started. And if everything is started naturally, she said, it's going to be like what they call a spider prick. So it's like a little bite that Tiff is going to feel. And hopefully that triggers the movements to start the process. If not, they give another medication. Another thing, men, please understand when to shut your mouth when a doctor is speaking so you can hear everything that's being said. So this way you are attentive to what you need to do so you ain't always having to hit that button. Nurse, how do I, and nurse, what can I, keep it calm. And don't say, well, honey, I'm going home now because you're already thinking about how you're going to watch the game or whatever when you get home. Many of these hospitals have the availability for you to spend the night. I don't care how uncomfortable the couch bed is or the chair bed or whatever that thing I was laying on. Oh, my God, was it uncomfortable. But I'm going to stay right here through these 12 hours because I know she has a medication in her that's starting the process of life, and that's not natural since they gave her medication to start it because they said if she stays in her too long, if KL stays in there too long, it now starts to present a danger to Tiff. So why would I want to be home? I don't want to be anywhere else but the hospital. So now after 9 hours, whatever it was, 9 o'clock when they gave it to her, they told us 12 hours, 9 o'clock in the morning. They came in, checked, no problem. No, you know, she's 1 centimeter, 1.5. Whatever. About quarter to five, they come in and said, okay, well, you got about 4 more hours. We'll start the process. You're only about 1.5, so, you know, it's not bad. Because I had asked the doctor at the beginning, I said, well, how far do you expect her to be at the end of the 12 hours? She said about 2, maybe 3. That'll be good. And then, you know, only God knows after that point. Okay. When the doctor came in at 4:45 and said, you know, everything, how's it looking? Tiff said, I'm fine. Really ain't feeling no problems. Oh, Lord, why she say that? The contraction started about 5 o'clock, and it was coming hard. Every couple of minutes, it seemed like she was stretching open. And she squeezing me. She yelling at me. Well, she was, as she said, I wasn't yelling. I was speaking real loud. Hey. You can't be on the air. Quiet up back there. You see, she's trying to take care of my baby and yell at me in the background. Anyway, but you can see that now things are progressing very quickly. So within an hour, she goes from 2 to 4. And then in the next hour, it's 2 to 5, almost 6. So now Tiff is in tremendous pain. And she's saying, baby, you got to help me. And again, I can't do anything but talk to the nurses, get the nurses, give her some ice chips. I can't do anything. And then what's crazy is I'm fasting, so I'm sitting there starving. There's nothing to eat in the hospital because I can't have no bread. So I'm drinking this juice that they had. And oh, my gosh, I was ODing on that. I started to take containers and just bring them into the room, which I'm allowed to do. So I wasn't stealing juice at the hospital. I don't want you to think I'm a thief. And I'm doing what I can. Well, it's 7 o'clock. They said, we're going to prep her for the epidural to take away the pain. She had signed off for it. They move her to another room, and now they're getting everything together. And I'm going to tell you, I was there when my two sons from my previous marriage, I was in the delivery room for one, but my ex-wife had a C-section, so I didn't go and look on the other side of the curtain. My other son, and Brooklyn Hospital doesn't allow you to go into the delivery room, so I was right there on the outside. This time I'm inside the room. And I'm in there like, okay. And now they come in and start putting everything in place. They start putting all the utensils on the table. They have the table right in front of where Tiff is laying. I'm over in the corner on a chair, like right next to her bed. And then they got the baby's, what's going to be the incubator, like bed where they're going to put the baby when she comes out. And everything is, you know, sterile and everything like that. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, okay, gear up, big bro. You gotta deal with this. So now they have me step out the room and they give the epidural. I see the doctor and she said, well, she's about 7. She said she's going to have this baby before the epidural kicks in. Now as we're moving closer to 8 o'clock, everything's in full swing. They start talking about this baby is coming. So we got to get started. And I'm sitting in the corner like a little chick. I ain't even going to lie. I'm like, I'm going to sit right here. I can see everything. I am good. And they start the process. And they're telling Tiff that she's having contractions, but she couldn't feel them at all. From the start, she couldn't feel the contractions. The machine, the monitor that they had hooked up to her, was telling her to have a contraction. So they started using the monitor to monitor the contractions, and when the contractions came, it was now time to push. And at one point, the doctor said, okay, Daddy, I need you to get in here. Hold her head up, because we're going to get this baby out. We got to get this baby out. And then they was going through the whole process. So now I am in active delivery. I'm in the mix. You know what? You see a whole lot of babies being born on TV. And you watch a lot of medical shows, and it look real cool and all that. Let me tell you something. I am a softy, and I am a sucker. I was sitting there like, oh, no, I don't want to be here for this. I didn't sign on for this. And they talk about here come the head, and you don't really want to look, but then you want to look. And I'm like, oh. What, this, the legs wide open and there's all these people in the eye. I'm like, this is just too much for me. But you know what? I'm staying calm. I'm holding it together because you know what? I got to be what I got to be for my wife. But I ain't going to lie to you. Inside, I'm like, this is nasty. I don't want to be here for this. So now JL's head starts to come out and I see like an afro pop out. Is she supposed to have that much hair? I'm like, babies come out bald, right? So they bring KL out, and we pushing it. Come on, Ma, you got to push. You ain't pushing on her. Hold her head, Daddy. I'm like, well, it felt like I'm in a fight. So when Tip finally pushes out this baby, oh, my gosh. She was yellow. I said, she's supposed to be yellow? I don't know what was going on with the fluid. I don't know what was in there. My child is yellow. My child is gold. So they whisk her to the table that's right next to the table where Tip is at. The two doctors are now working to clean up what's going on, and they said that the baby had a bowel movement. I'm sorry to be so disgusting. I don't want to gross anybody out, but I got to tell you it is what it is. She had a bowel movement. They had to make sure they clean that up because that could cause a problem for Tiff. And now they checking for the placenta, and they get ready to cut the tube. And I was like, please don't hand me no scissors to cut nothing. I'm standing right here, and I am shocked at what I just saw come out my wife. But I'm digging it, though, because it's mind-blowing. But now here is the difficult part. I'm looking over at the table, and they're cleaning KL up. They're wiping it down. They're doing all the things. Now, of course, there's one doctor, two doctors, and I think a nurse, and then the two doctors that's taking care of Tiff. Inside this room. Of course, it's a massive room, so I don't want you to think we all squeezed into like a broom closet. But I notice that the baby is not crying. And I'm like, okay, she's been out for a minute or so. How come I don't hear her crying? Now remember, Tiff is under an epidural. Tiff is not feeling any pain of them snipping her, and they said that she had tore. And so they had to sew back some stitches. So they were working on her. So now I had leaned down and put my head on her shoulder because both of us are looking over at the table wondering how come we didn't hear our child cry yet. Tiff has that spent look to her face, but I can see the concern in her face. So now, no, it is not time for jokes now. In my mind and in my heart, I said, Lord, you didn't bring us 10 months. You didn't have us go through all those steps and those landmines and the passing of my grandmother, the passing of my mother-in-law and all these different things, and Tip losing her job in November, and at one point not even being able to pay the rent. I have no problem with saying that because we had to just put funds where we had to put them until we could get things together. You didn't bring us this far. to blow us out the water like that. But now, here's the thing. And I didn't tell Tiff this, and I haven't told anyone this until tonight. I said in that room, Lord, but if that's what it's going to be, then let it happen, because I'm right here with Tiff now. If that's what it's going to be, if that's what you think is what needs to be done, if you're going to take this child right now, okay, Lord, then I'm going to hold on to my wife a little tighter, and we're just going to trust that you got us. But in my heart, I felt that that wasn't going to happen. And then sure enough, when I seen them putting a little bag over her face, concern is getting deeper and a little worse. But I'm like, okay, shorty, you got to breathe now. You got to do this on your own now. And then you hear her cry. And the crying sounds like music. I don't know about anybody else, but that's what it sounds like, because you now know. You now know a new life has entered into this world and is here. And so they're cleaning her up. And, of course, our doctor, very cool sister, by the way. And actually, if you go to Tiff's Facebook page, there's a picture of the doctor cheesing in the picture. She jumped in the selfie, too. One of the first things she said to the other doctor was, you got two parents over there. You got to tell them what's going on. Because Tiff and I, we wasn't leaving. Our eyes wasn't moving. Because if somebody did something wrong, we're going to be able to say something in the lawsuit. And then they wrapped up and they came over and explained to us what the situation is, explaining to us that some fluid went into her mouth, but just making sure it didn't go into her lungs. You might have to take it to the ICU, but we're going to bring her over. And the whole thing, we hear her crying, so we're good right now. We'll deal with all the medical jargon later on, but we're happy right now that our baby is crying. So then they cleaned up, wrapped up, and they brought her over. And she was heavy, 7 pounds, 13 ounces. But that face. And it was exactly what the 3D sonogram image showed, that face. And Tiff was able to see her, and we was able to hold her, and it was like, okay, our family unit is straight. So when they took her away, it wasn't no fears. It was, okay, cool. And now it's just a matter of cleaning up, because now as you look at everything that's going on afterwards, you see the folks who now come in who have to clean the room up, and they get Tiff ready to move her back to the other room. Now it was, I need to go make these phone calls. So once we got to the next room, I'm just calling everybody. It was basically a handful of 30-second phone calls, because I just can't get into the long conversation about what it is. So later on, when they bring the baby from the nursery, and they basically, at Long Island Jewish in New Hyde Park, they bring the baby, if the baby's well enough, to the room. Baby stays there. No going to the nursery to see the baby. Baby stays in the room. So KL was with us. And those 2 days that Tiff was there healing up, oh, my gosh, I was a proud pop now, man. And then it was just a matter of her being well enough to come home. Now, I walked you through all this for a reason. And I want you to understand that I had asked the Lord for clarity. I said, Lord, I'm not sure what you want from me. I'm not sure what you want me to do. I just know I needed to make some changes in some things that I'm doing, because I feel that there's more I should be doing in this world, not just with my writing, not just with anything, not just with my speaking, not just with teaching, just know I should be doing more. And so once KL was here, I had a clear moment, and that moment was, whatever I do, it is designed on making sure that Tiff and this baby are well taken care of. If it means I got to work 2 jobs or 3, if I got to go out and clean cars or jump in a vat full of feces, as long as I got a mask and glove, if that's what it's going to take to make sure my child and wife is okay, that's what I'm going to do. And so my life was forever changed. And as a father, it made me start to think of my other children. And I realized that when I met my father at age 39, after almost 39 years, I say this all the time I go out and speak. The Lord knew I needed him more at 39 than I did at 19, because I needed the guidance of how do I orchestrate this man thing? How do I live this husband thing? How do I do this man of God thing and leave these women alone and make sure I'm doing what I'm supposed to do? And my father, having already lived that life and happy that his son was now back in his life, was able to give that to me. So that's what I've been trying to give to young men since I met my father again at 39. And so tonight, one of the things that I wanted to do tonight was to walk you through that, because, ladies, if you're listening, many of us men don't know. We just don't know how to be that man, because no one's ever showed us. No one's ever taught us. No one's ever sat with us and told us the stories of what it took from the time that the baby was conceived to when the baby was received. And so what I hope tonight is, ladies, if you're listening, take this audio. Give it to somebody that you know needs to hear, male or female. And if they got questions, tell them to reach out to me. Tell them to send me an email at info@bravenpublishing.com. That's info@bravenpublishing.com. And just ask me whatever questions. Or get my book, From Gigolo to Jesus, to see what my life was before I came to know the Lord. Because you know what? I stand on that. And I stand on this marriage. But I know that there's a lot of sisters out there that struggle because a lot of dudes don't know. And they don't understand. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to take a 2-song break. And when I come back at 9 o'clock, we're going to talk about why men leave their women alone and what we can do to fix that. And also, if you're listening on the phone, please, one, come in and leave a comment if you like. Let me know that you're there. Let me know what you think. Let me know what you've been through. Let's talk about it. And also, during this break, get on your phone right now and call somebody up and tell them they need to listen to this. Because we got entirely too many young brothers out here and sisters that are struggling. I'm also going to tell you what's changed in my life on how I look at women because of the birth of my daughter. Something else we're going to talk about as soon as we come back. You're listening to Reality and Relationships. I am your host, K.L. Belvin. And yes, I am a shining, happy father. And when we return, we're going to have and complete this discussion, as I said. Thank you again for listening to Reality Relationships. We'll be back in 2 songs.
GQ Palace Radio, taking the world by storm. We're on over 15 different websites, 65,000 listeners, and still rising within 2 years. 8 different episodes, 11 different hosts. On Mondays from 8 to 9 p.m., we have UAR, Unsigned Artist Radio, where we play nothing but the hottest pioneers and unsigned artist music never heard before. Then, right after UAR, from 9 to 11 p.m., we have Love, Life, and Loyalty with Miss Deanne Lane. Then on Tuesdays, we're coming at you with the sports, GPS, GQ Palace Sports with the mayor, bringing you the bigger picture, doing it how he say it, hard body karate. Then on Wednesdays, we're coming at you with Love Fantasy with the Diva Squad, Angie, Rachel, and T, as they bring you their grown and sexy topics, and also playing nothing but the hottest old and new slow jams and R&B. Then they're back, KL, Belvin, Reality and Relationship from 8 to 10 p.m. on Thursdays, bringing you that truth to the matter feedback on relationships and letting you know what's going on in the world of the news today. Then on Friday, we hitting y'all with Rich Money, GQ Palace Radio, Love and Entertainment from 6 to 9 p.m. as he get random people for the GQ General Question, interviewing up-and-coming artists and having some of the biggest names in the entertainment business on from 6 to 9 p.m. That's Love and Entertainment with your host, Rich Money. Then on Sunday, you have to bless the Lord. That's with Miss Lavina Polite, Spiritual Sunday from 7 to 9 p.m. as she brings you the most powerful evangelists, elders, pastors, and ministers, sending out prayers, playing gospel music, quoting scriptures of the Bible. Also, feel free to call in and give your testimony. And surely, last but not least, we have Brother Timothy Scribby Hunter, GQ Palace Radio, Crossroads Temple, interviewing nothing but the best gospel and hip-hop gospel artists on GQ Palace Radio. One number, one link, toll free, 646-200-3838. Press 1 to go on the air, or you can stay on the line to hear the show. Don't forget, you can follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/GQ Palace Radio. You can also like the GQ Palace magazine at www.facebook.com/GQ Palace magazine. We doing big things, we taking it to the next level. GQ Palace, Power Entertainment, is butter, baby, butter, baby.
It was the 3rd of September, that day I'll always remember. Yes, I will, cause that was the day that my daddy died, yeah. I never got a chance to see
tell me the truth.
Mama just hung her head and said, son,
Papa was a rolling stone.
My son now,
wherever he lay his hat was his home.
When he died,
all he left me was alone.
Thursday night, I spent my time chilling with the Belvins, KL and Tiffany Belvin, Reality and Relationships, and Jesus Palace Radio from 8 to 10. Call in with those relationship questions they got to answer. Butter baby, butter baby.
Papa never was a day in his life.
And Mama, some bad talk going around town saying that Papa had three outside children and a new other wife. And that ain't right.
Heard some talk about Papa doing some storefront preaching. Talking about saving souls and all the time leeching. Stealing dirt, stealing in the name of the Lord.
Mama hung her head and said,
GQ Power,
good. This is Casanova Rudd from the group Super Lover CN Casanova Rudd. You know the golden era of hip hop, baby. You are now tuned into GQ Palace Radio. Yeah.
GQ Palace Radio. GQ Palace.
With a tear in her eye and said, son,
when he died, all he left us was alone. Oh, man, one of the temp classics. GQ Palace DJ always brings the hotness. Welcome back to Reality and Relationships. I am your host, KL Belvin. And yes, I am going solo. The wife is taking care of our lovely bundle of joy. So you have me to rock out with for the next hour. And so I want to thank you. And guys, you guys listening on the phones, man, don't be scared. Just press one. Let the host know you're there. Come on in and chime in on what I'm saying. Listen, hey, just get on and say, KL, you're doing a great job. I always need the pat on the back. I like it. Or I'd like to hear your own story about your children or any situation. But when we left to go to the break, I said we're going to get to the guys, and that's what we're going to do, because I definitely wanted to talk to the men. And brothers, listen, and I'm being very serious. And ladies, please go to the archives. Actually, I post all the shows on my blog, which is klbelvin.blogspot.com. That's klbelvin.blogspot.com, because this way, by listening to the archives, those numbers, GQ Palace gets those hits. And that allows them to go out and do what they do. And if you was listening to the commercials, you'll see that there is programming on every night, various different programming. So please, same blog talk station, and listen to this same phone number throughout the week, and you will get to listen to all of the wonderful shows on GQ Palace Radio. Now, like I said, please make sure that you share this with the men and women that you feel needed, because here's my thing, brothers. And I say brothers because I'm not going to come at you with disrespect, because I believe that's what society does. But I'm speaking to brothers, and I'm speaking to men of color first, but I'm speaking to all men, but I'm speaking to men of color, because we get this label of not taking care of our children. And that I read a stat today before I came on that 70% of African American children are born in unmarried homes. Okay. That just means marriage is down. But I know for a fact, as an 18-year educator, that I have seen the divide in the family. I have talked to women who have such a negative situation with the father of their children. And I get into conversations about, was he there? Because my thing is about bonding. See, as men, we don't get to carry a child. My daughter in the back trying to get on the air. We don't get to carry the child, so we don't get a physical bonding at the onset like the women do. The women have a baby growing in them for 9 months, 10 months, maybe more or less. And so they're automatically bonded and connected because that life was cultivated inside them. But for men, and this is what happened to me back in 92 when my son was born. Being there when he first took his first breath, when I seen him inhale and exhale and he cried out those first cries, it automatically bonded me to him. And then to fast forward some 20-something years later, to be there when my daughter takes her first breath, to hear her utter her first sound, you are forever changed. You can't be the same man now, but here's the key. That experience is a wonderful experience, and it should be one that you cherish and hold on to, but you got to feed it. You got to feed it with holding your child as often as you can, talking to her, and when you get home, being there with her, allowing the mother to heal. Because I said earlier, Tiff had stitches, so she's got to heal up from that. So, yes, I'm going to make the bottles. Yes, I'm going to wash the bottles out. Yes, I'm going to wash the dishes. Yes, I'm going to do all the things in the house that I can and hold my daughter and talk to my daughter, because I want my wife to be able to heal and feel comfortable and not overwhelmed. And, men, you rob yourself of an opportunity to bond with your child when you're not there. Okay, y'all are separate. You live in one place, she lives in another, y'all not married. Okay, real life. Then you spend as much time as you can in that house and then go home at night and you come right back after you get off work. I took 3 weeks off, 3.5 weeks, almost a month off from work. I left 2 checks on the table. I'm not rich. And did it hurt a little bit? Yes, but it was a sacrifice that I made so I could be home from the start of my child's life. And what I found interesting was when I told people I was taking a leave of absence, the first thing that they said was, without pay? Really? Oh, my gosh. No one said, you know, I like the way that sounds, that you're going to be there for your wife. So they were so focused in on the money, even when I wasn't. So whatever your excuse is, dudes, you're real sore for not being there. And I'm not trying to insult you. I'm just calling it what it is, because you know what? We see the damage. We see the damage. But real talk, you need to be there to give that mother an opportunity to at least heal her body and to heal her spirit. You can only understand it if you've seen it. And television does it no justice. Oh, the makeup and no. When you're there and you see what goes on, you see your woman differently. You feel about your woman differently. But now I'm being honest with you. If you didn't come in with any love, then it's not going to do anything to you. She's just a vessel. And that baby is just a baby. So, men, I don't know why we leave our women to go through this alone. It wasn't designed to be that way, to be there to hold her hand, to be there and hold her head and help her push, to be there when they handed me the child first. Not that that's a big thing, but it was just me. It's my thing. Yes, I got you. And then I hold her up so my wife doesn't have to even work to lift her hands up to see her daughter. See, these are the little things. And if you're not married, okay, but you're still the daddy. You're still the father. See, over these 3 weeks of KL's life, one of the things that I started realizing, I understand why women are so angry with us. I understand why they're so mad with us. Because imagining a younger mother sore and trying to recoup, in pain and trying to recoup, and now having to feed a child, deal with her body now going through another change, deal with the emotional and mental pressures of trying to deal with a life that she may not have any information on what to do other than what she's read or what people keep telling her, and getting the help from moms and getting the help from grandmoms, but not the person that helped her create this child. Yo, a part of that has to hurt. A part of it has to say, how come he couldn't be here? Why didn't he choose to be here? And then it makes me think of all those stupid hours that we sit there laughing at Maury and going, how do these dudes keep getting in these stupid situations? Then I realize there's a lot of trifling dudes out here. And yes, there's a lot of trifling chicks, so dudes, stop spazzing and be like, yo, how come he ain't going at the women? Yo, it takes two, and I got that. And we're going to talk about the women in a second, but I'm talking to y'all. Somebody keeps bedding these chicks down, and that's us. If you're going to go that route, go the whole way. See, I realize now, when I said to you earlier, in thinking about KL, I think of all my children. I realize the damage that I did not being able to be there, because you know what? That's why you shouldn't have multiple children, because you can't be there. You can't be there. I don't care if you want to be the greatest father going, you can't be in multiple places at the same time. And so one, two, or more of your children is going to suffer, and mine have. And I pray to God to forgive me for even placing them in that situation. And all I can do is the best that I can. See, as an educator, what I attempt to do daily is to get young folks to not make those decisions that I've made, to not go the route that I've went. My own sons, I tell them, don't be like me. Be better than me. Don't use me as your example other than I want to be better than him. Now, don't look at me negative, because I'm doing some very positive things, and I'm making some very positive contributions to this planet and to my family. But I tell my sons, and if I had a better relationship with my daughters, I'd tell them too. Be better than me, because use me as a learning experience, a live lesson. I'm not just a teacher in the classroom. I'm a teacher in life. Use me as something to focus on how to be a little bit better. I've had some accomplishments. I have education. I got 3 degrees. Okay, so what? You need the degrees to teach. But I want my sons to have five if they can get it. Or take the 3 degrees, but get them earlier in your life so you can do more to me. And when you have children, have them in a loving union. Have them in a loving relationship. Would I rather you be married? Of course I would. I just said I'm a man of faith. But if you're going to go out, stop saying that your children are mistakes. Stop saying, oh, God, I think she's pregnant. Oh, what am I going to do? Man, love her from the beginning to the end and be excited when you find out. Because I believe that all of that starts from how you conceive and how you learn of the conception. See, we were emotional because it was something that we wanted. It was something that we couldn't wait, that we actually begged God, please, I know Tiff did. I know she begged God for it. And they always say, be careful what you ask. Well, you know what? Yes, be careful, but sometimes be bold about what you want. So when God gives it to you, you're ready. And brothers, you're robbing yourself of that. And the crazy part of that, many of us brothers that are out here doing this came from situations where our fathers wasn't in our lives either. I'll use an example, which I do often. My father came into my life at 39 years old. I did not know him at all. He did not know his father. So it was a generational thing. My son, the oldest, has two kids. I have two grandkids I have not met yet. Why? Because he doesn't have himself together to even give me the information to know what's going on so I can maybe bypass him to try to see the kids myself. I know one lives in Connecticut. He For a reason, he doesn't want to give up the information. So I've seen pictures. And he's working it out. He's doing whatever. But see, the generational curse. So at some point, brothers, we got to step in and change it. This is what I attempted to do. This is why I've sat across from my oldest son and given him instruction on how I'm doing it. I've sat across from my father, and the two of us have hugged and cried and laughed and said, thank God that we've got here. Now we got each other. We're not going to let anything come between us. And we have a tremendous father-son relationship. Now I'm going to scare you a little bit if you haven't read my book. I'm going to scare you a little bit, brother, to show you that God is real. Yes, we're going to go to church right now. My father is 7 years older, 9 years older than his wife. I am 9 years older than Tiff. My father had a son named Elijah before I had ever met him, and I named my child Elijah before I met my father without having ever talked to him. My father had 7 children. His last child that he conceived, he was 46 years old. Oh, magically, I'm 46 years old, and this is number 7. My father's a night owl. I'm a night owl. My father loves full-figured women. I love full-figured women. So you see, men, our children are products of us. And if we come with negativity, that negativity is going to be passed on to them. We break that cycle by changing who we are, accepting our flaws, accepting our faults, taking ownership of the things that we did wrong, and standing up to the world and saying, judge me as you will, I don't care. I am who I am right now, and I am here for my children now. And whatever consequences come, child support or anything else, you hold that. And you don't complain about it. You take it and let them have it smilingly. Smiling. You're like, are you smiling? They jacking you. They not jacking you, because if you really think of what it takes for you to take care of a child, no matter how much you're paying, it's worth it. Because you know what? Most of the mothers wouldn't even take that much if you gave more time. Spent more time. Gave help where it was needed. Gave her an opportunity to rest. Come over and say, you know what, I brought you dinner. Do you know our church brought us dinner 4 nights in a row to help us out, because they said they knew how difficult it is when you're first getting started. And let me tell you something, those 4 nights, they didn't just bring us enough food for that night. It was enough food to last 8 to 9. So they gave us enough food basically to last a week and a half, because they wanted to show their love and appreciation for us as members of the church. Tremendous, because you know what? It saved me from having to cook, and it allowed me to take care of my wife by now serving her a plate instead of having to make dinner, and then warming up the food the next day and serving her dinner, and then washing those dishes, and not looking at chores of a male or woman thing. And yes, I wash bottles too. wash and sterilize bottles. Why? Because I know I'm going to bed at 4 or 5 in the morning, and now when my baby gets up, all my wife has to do is make a bottle and not have to go through all that extra because now I'm laying my head down. So, man, I'm going to go back and ask you again. Why are we not there? Why are we leaving our women to face this very uncomfortable situation alone? We were okay when we were bedding them down. We were okay when we were inside them and thinking we were the baddest cat on the planet. And now that the baby is conceived, we don't want to have no part of it, that we allow them to face all of that by themselves. A scary hospital. I don't care who you are. A hospital place is not where anyone wants to be. I know what my grandmother looked like in the hospital. She didn't want to be there so bad that we even attempted to bring her home, and we couldn't take care of her. We had to take her back. We couldn't even get her out of bed. My mother was trying, and I was trying. It became too difficult. And that's why my hat is off to all the individuals that work in the hospital, from the people that clean the rooms after people check out to the doctors who come in and have to make some very life-altering decisions. Every individual in hospitals are needed. And the better the hospital, the better you feel. So men, what are you saying to yourself right now? And ladies, if you're listening to this, take this audio, like I said, klbelvin.blogspot.com. Tell them to come in. I'll put it up sometime, if not tonight, sometime tomorrow. You tell them to sit down and listen to this and ask themselves a question. Why didn't I? Now, if they didn't, and brothers, if you haven't, okay, get back in there. Go call up and say, listen, let me take my kids off your hands for a couple of days so you can get some rest. Can they come stay with me? And if the relationship is horrible and she don't have anything to do with you and she's not allowing you to see the kids or whatever that is, call her with a calm voice and say, can we work out whatever was wrong, because I really want to be a part of my children's life. Start the process. It's not going to happen overnight if you weren't there. She's got to learn to trust you. But if you really want it, it can happen. Pray on it. And if you're not a praying person, now's a great time to start. Because you've got to fix this. I am in school with children that sometimes I'm trying to figure out what's going through their heads. How can they say and act and be the way that they be? How do they react to men like this? How do they react to women like this? I just found out that a 13-year-old girl has been lying about moving to Pennsylvania because she's possibly home pregnant. I just found out that another 14-year-old girl who's in the 7th grade might actually have 2 children. How is that possible? Well, I take it back. I know how it's possible. Well, and then I've the numerous abortions and everything else. Come on, man. Man, that's us. Boys, that's us. And yes, I'm just getting at the men, and I know the guys are going to say, come on, KL, you're not even getting at the ladies. I'll talk to them in a minute. This is about you, dudes, because we go hard to get it. Now, yes, there's some women out there that can't wait to give it away. And you know what? They need guidance, too. But a lot of those women are giving it away because some man didn't do what he was supposed to do when they were younger. I know, because I see the little girls who don't know proximity, who don't know how to hold a conversation, but they're rubbing their breast up against my arm, and I have to back away and go, excuse me, you don't talk to me that close. Please back up. And then when they look confused as if they did something wrong, I then have to explain to them in the fatherly voice that I have, because I don't want them to feel offended, and I don't want them to feel disrespected, but now I got to really teach, and I got to really educate. It has nothing to do with the classroom. And I say, Ma, listen, you don't lean up on a guy like that, because that's not respectful. You're a cute young lady. You want to stand 2 to 3 feet back and hold your conversation. And I got to smile, because I want her to understand there's nothing negative about you. It's just somebody didn't teach you. Somebody didn't get to you younger to understand you are a growing, blossoming young woman. You don't rub up against no man to get his attention. You don't hug that long. You don't let no little boy hug on you that long. That's a caress, and a caress starts to become something sexual when he doesn't let you go after 3 or 4 seconds. Come on. And fathers, this is where we come in. This is where we can talk, because when our daughters hug us in a way that doesn't feel right to us, we go, whoa, 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 baby, what you doing? Nah, get off me. You don't hug a man like that. Now is a learning, a teaching moment, as they say. This is a teachable moment. Baby doll, you don't let no man hug you like that. And if boys are hugging you like that, stop that right now. Remember, every person learns their first experiences from their parents. Boys are going to learn their first experience from women from their mothers, and girls are going to learn their first experiences about boys from their fathers. And how you two are together is going to affect how they see relationships, but that's another show. So here's what I'm going to do. Fellas, I know I've been getting at you for a little bit now. I'm just going to ask you this before we take a quick break. I'm going to just ask you to ask yourself why you weren't there and what are you going to do to fix that now? And if you have a great relationship with your kids, cool. I'm going to ask you this. What are you doing to help other young men who don't know how to do what you're doing? Who are you helping and how often are you helping? Because our ladies need our help. Now, you're listening to Reality and Relationships. I'm your host, K.L. Belvin. We are going to take, let's see what time it is. It's about 9:25. We're only going to take a one-song break, and then I'm going to come back and I'm going to ask the ladies some questions. We're going to talk about the women for the last half an hour as we bring this show to a close. And again, please share this with as many people as possible because I really want to change lives, and this is what I do and what I'm going to continue to do. And I'll definitely give all my information so we can reach out and connect and we can actually start building some things together when we come back right after this commercial break. Be back in one song.
You feel like you want to twist a little line, huh? I said, do you feel like you want to twist a little
line? Teach you how. Maybe. Teach you how.
Come on. I'm putting it anyway. Somewhere New York way, all where the people are so gay, twist and slide away. Oh man, they have a lot of fun, they put trouble on the run. Oh man, you kind of old New York, twist and slide away. They're twisting up, twisting up, everybody's feeling great. They're twisting up, twisting up. Here's a man in evening clothes. How he got here, I don't know. But, oh man, you want to see him go twisting the night away. Cat dancing with the chicken slacks. That chicks are moving up and back. Oh man, there ain't nothing like twisting the night away. They're twisting up, everybody feeling great.
Let's twist and twist. All right,
everybody, let's twist a little while. Let's twist.
Oh. Yeah, this is Grand Agent, GrandAgent.net, real Grand Agent, with an IG. I'm in the GT Valley, so as far as I can tell, it's all good. Let's do it.
Round and round, that's it. Oh, yeah. Ha. Oh, my.
welcome back to Reality and Relationships. This is KL, and oh, I am digging the throwback music. I love oldies, man. I just love music, but I love throwback music because it's just a feel to it. Actually, like I said, I love everything. Welcome back to Reality and Relationships, and this is where we take this show. Tiff and I, what we did, we always try to work relationships. This is what we do, relationships from every angle. And doing this by myself, I wanted to make sure that I had something that I wanted to talk about tonight, and I will have something to talk about every night that I'm on, because my focus and my renewed focus is to find a way to help women and men, but more so women. And I'm looking at the women who are out here with children, women that are suffering and struggling in their relationships. And what you're going to notice is each week I'm going to find a way to open up the doors for you to be able to ask the questions that you want to ask, to be able to learn what you want to learn or need to learn about how to make things better with the dude that you're talking to, dealing with your husband, whatever, and any way that I can using the expertise that I have and my experiences. So, again, you guys that are listening in on the phone, just press 1 to come in, say what you got to say, and we can talk about it. I'd love to hear from you, because for this next half an hour, what we're going to talk about is the ladies. And ladies, we're going to discuss how you feel about being alone, having your children. Now, I've talked to women, and I noticed some women that it didn't bother them. It was like, all right, whatever. If he didn't want to be there, I didn't want him there. I know some women were like, I don't care. And then I know some women were really hurt, and they were just, well, you know what, I did what I had to do. And that seems to be what I find from a lot of sisters. Listen, I just do what I got to do. If he, you know, if he wants to be a deadbeat, or he don't want to help, or he don't want to do whatever. And I can hear the salt, and I can hear the bitterness. Now, I'm not saying you're a bitter person, but I can hear the saltiness in the way that you describe him not being there. And then, of course, I love to get into the conversation to know what things have been since, because I want to know if he at least tried to make amends, and if not, you know, how are you handling that? And then we have a lot of blended families, so a lot of brothers are stepping up and coming into ready-made families, and they're assuming the role of the father that the other fathers didn't want. Actually, Tiff is a perfect example of that, is that her blended situation, the father that stepped in to marry her mother was not her biological, but he was everything that her father should have been. And he helped mold her to where they have a wonderful relationship now. So when her biological father came back into her life, yes, she accepted him. She spoke to him, understood about all the babies that he made, but it was not going to uproot or supplant the man that had stepped in and been her father all those years when she was younger. Even when the relationship with him and her mother failed, he still continued that relationship with Tiff as her father. So in his eyes, he was and is her father. So Tiff routinely says, I have two fathers. And people think it's a gay situation. No, it is not. It is, she has two fathers because her biological is still around, and her father, who she considers her father, is still around. And that is commendable. And actually, meeting her father, tremendous dude. Him and I joke and laugh. We know a lot of the same people. He's a very outstanding dude. And you know what? It is an honor to know him, because he is a straight-up man. He is what a man is supposed to be, because a lot of brothers, once the relationship would went south, and they was like, well, that's not my kid, I'm not bothered. But because her brother is his son, she's his daughter, and no in between. So ladies, if you're listening, let me ask you, do you replay that whole scenario and consider where it might have went negative? Or was he just no good to begin with, or did something happen? And women that had their husbands and boyfriends there with them, I tip my hat to you. And I would love to hear from you, too, and tell me what your experience was like. I told you what mine was like. I'd love to hear what yours was like, because, you know, only you know how you felt. Some women just discount and say, you know what, I'm not even going to think about it. You know, it is what it is. Some just kind of put all that love and attention into their child and have continued to do that. And some, the bitterness swole. It became a small thing that grew into something large where it was like, whatever. And you see all that, and you see, especially on the internet, especially on Instagram and Facebook and many other social media sites, you can see the bitterness, and you can see the happiness, and you kind of see how it all clashes together like waves against rocks. And it makes me wonder, sisters, what can we do to help you? Because sometimes trying to get sisters to settle down to be able to have a good conversation without the salt is hard. Now, one of the things that I am attempting to do this summer is to get with women, to sit with them and talk. And if they want to drink some wine, hey, I'll take a sip with you. If that's just going to help calm you down to be able to have a real conversation, because if I can help fill in the blanks, if I can maybe give an insight to the way some young men, older men are thinking, and it's going to help fix your situation, I'm going to do that. But I can't do it if you don't share with me and tell me what you think. I can only give my opinion about the things that I see and the things that I've researched and read, and the numbers don't look good. And the information out there doesn't look good. And in the African-American and Latino communities, actually, I'm going to separate that. In the African-American communities, it really looks bad. In the Latino communities, fathers are close, and they're around. And they're not as distant as brothers in the African-American communities. And now our Caribbean brothers, it's a little bit different dichotomy. Because Caribbean brothers, they're actually staying close to their families when they're here. But we actually have noticed that some of our Caribbean brothers have multiple families. They got the family back home, and they got the American family, and vice versa. And so there's another dichotomy there, but again, at the end of the day, it's about women, what are you allowing to happen, and what didn't you have control over? And that's one of the things that is interesting to me, because I honestly believe that a lot of men put such negativity into motion that many women can't get past it because of everything that went into the birth of the child. And so it's like a small seed that's stuck there. And every time that they have to deal with this father or daddy or whatever they want to call him. And I'm going to tell you something that I hear a lot of women say, and it kind of irks me. Sperm donor. It hurts when I hear women refer to the guy, because was he a sperm donor when y'all were having sex? Was he a sperm donor when y'all were making love? And I know things can get negative, and I know you can almost grow to hate the man that just acts as if you don't even exist. That's what I want to fix. You know, I want to hear from the ladies, and I want to understand, you know, what was done so we can fix that, so I can talk to some of these men and sit them to get them to understand that there's no greater position to be in than that of loving your woman with your child in the process. A loving family, there's nothing more beautiful than that. And if you're dating, it's beautiful when you're dating. Y'all have a wonderful relationship and you have someone that you care about, and then the child is conceived from really enjoying each other, and then you rock out all the way. So ladies, you know, I need you to help me out. I need you to, in the future, to contact me and let's talk. I need you to share with me. I need you to say, okay, KL, where's your brother? Well, I got one. He's getting himself together too. But, you know, just because he's my brother doesn't mean that he's going to be able to treat you like I treat Tiff. But if you got a dude that you are interested in, let me talk to you and find a way to help you. Let's share. Have him call me. But he's got to call me with an open mind. He's got to call me with the idea that I'm calling this dude because this dude can offer me something that's going to help me take care of my woman better. I need to call this dude because he's going to give me information that's going to help me connect with this dude better. There's a lot of great dudes out here, ladies. So I can't believe that many of y'all want to go through this alone. And if you do, I want to hear that too. Why? I want to know, like, what made you want to go through that by yourself? Oh my God, that's life altering, life changing, and life beginning. Did you really want to go through that, or you had to? Because if you had to, you still had to do what you got to do. And shout out to the grandmothers who step in as the surrogate father, and the mothers who step in as the surrogate father and hold it down as their grandchild is being born. They're like, look, whether he there or not, I got this. And I understand that. Shout out and big ups to you. But I'm speaking to the mothers. I'm speaking to the women that are sitting there right now listening and saying, why didn't he come through with me? Now, it might be a hard pill to look at, because then it means looking at what type of relationship you had going in. And if it was a relationship that wasn't one that you needed to be in, then it's a problem. And I understand that. And you just got to hold whatever the consequence is. So if you were in a relationship with a dude that was married, I understand why you were alone. If you were in a situation where you was a side chick, and I'm not saying that you were, I said if you were, then I understand why you might be alone. And some of this can't happen if you expect to have a healthy relationship, because you can't make him be more if you were allowing yourself to be less. You can't elevate from side chick status to now you better love me because I'm having your child. He may respect his child. He may want to have something with his child and have nothing to do with you because he really didn't have a real concern or care for you to begin with, or he wouldn't have made you his side chick. He would have made you the main chick. And we got to get away from that whole side chick syndrome. Stop wanting to be the chick on the side and then creating babies from it. You can control that, ladies. And do, and I, listen, I'm going to get it to dudes, but some of y'all can close your legs. Some of y'all could put some birth control in places, too, or make a guy have birth control before you give it to him, because some of these babies don't have to be born if you're doing what you're supposed to do, especially when you're not in a relationship that you really want to be in. Now, come on, if y'all just knocking and y'all knocking boots, let's keep it real. If that's what you want to do, it's not what I'm about. But if you're just getting it in, why he going in raw? Why are you allowing that? And then wondering why you alone having a child? If he had no respect for you to not cover himself up inside you, you really think he's going to show up in the daylight? Now, I can tell you as a former whore, there are some women that I had no intentions of seeing during the day. I had no intentions of taking them anywhere. And I had no intentions of being there when the child was born. And I wasn't. Now, I know, as horrible as that sounds, but I'm giving you the truth because it is what it was. And I had no intentions. And when I got him pregnant, I can give you all the reasons you can believe it or not believe it, from the condom breaking to whatever. At the end of the day, it was me not being responsible and seeing unsteadiness in someone and still having sex with them, which was my own issues. And a lot of brothers out here are able to get away with the same issues that I had because there's women out here saying, sure, take it, with no regard. So ladies, talk to me. If you're sitting there right now and he wasn't there, why wasn't he? And if you don't want to come on the air and embarrass yourself, I got that. If you don't want to come on the air and feel it's embarrassing to you, I don't want to say embarrass yourself because I don't want to disrespect anyone. I don't want anybody feeling I'm being disrespectful. If you don't want to come on and put your business out on the air, I got that. info@bravenpublishing.com. Email me. I'm on Facebook, KL Belvin. Inbox me. I'm on Twitter, @AuthorKLBelvin. Hit me up, direct message. And let me know what I can do to help. Let me know if you want me to come and talk to a group of your sisters. We can sit down and talk because we got to change this. We got to fix this. And I'm throwing my hat in the ring to say this is what I'm doing with my life from this point on, is finding a way to help my sisters and help my brothers to do better with each other. Whether it's using my relationship as a reflection of what I'm trying to give, or myself being there in person talking, or in what I write or whatever. And that's what I'm doing when I come on the air. That's what I'm doing when I write my books. I'm writing a story now about a young lady who was raped, and it's affecting how she's doing things in her adult life. And I'm actually talking to women who have been in that nasty situation so I can get a feel for how they were able to overcome it or not overcome it. And this way I know how to gauge how the character is going to act. And I'm working in other things. So when a person is reading it, secretly can go, oh, my God, that's how I felt. Now, let me see. Well, I need to go talk to that dude. So I don't come on here just to entertain. I'm hoping I'm entertaining you, but I'm here to try to help, and I mean honestly help. Yes, I mention my book a lot. Why? Because I'm a businessman, and in selling my books, it allows me to travel to do the things that I'm necessarily trying to do, and that is help other people. So no, I don't have any problems with saying, yes, I'm trying to sell my books. And I mention my books because I own the company, and by owning the company, when I sell books, the profits come to me to be able to do what I do. And I am working on as many traveling opportunities as possible this coming summer because I have a daughter that I have to take care of. I have a wife that I do not want to work at least a year. So if I got to get on the road and ride up and down and talk to groups of women and groups of women from here to California, I'm going to have to fly. But whatever I got to do, that's going to help me sell books and sit down and talk. Whatever speaking in place to sit down and talk, I'm going to do that because I got a daughter to take care of, a wife to take care of, and my other children I need to take care of. Because they got to know that their father's doing what he's supposed to do. So when they come through the door and have a question, I got answers. And when you come through the door and have questions, I have answers. Whether you come to me directly or you purchase my books or you have me come and speak, whatever it is, I have answers. And the more people that I speak to, the more I learn, the more that I can share. Hopefully, the more that I can help heal. Because I know someone right now listening to this radio show is sitting there and they're hurting because that dude didn't do what he was supposed to do. Or that young lady is not giving you the opportunity. Let's fix that. I know some guy will listen to this and he may not admit it to the woman that puts him on to this show. But inside he's saying to myself, yo, I really screwed up. I should have been there. Yes, you should have been. But now what are you going to do today? And if you're not sure, hit me up. KL, you know, I heard your show, brother, but I don't know what to do. Let's formulate a plan. Let's talk. You know, everything is not a hustle. Not everybody is trying to climb inside your pocket. And not everybody's trying to do something filthy to you. Sometimes people really just want to fix what's going on. I'm tired of seeing my little girls in school have no idea how they're supposed to act around men. Because as an ex-whore, I look at these girls and go, see, these girls in the club 6 years from now, 10 years from now, in the same situation that I was able to have women when I was younger, because the next generation of whores is coming up behind me. And they're nastier than I was because now the technology allows them to do things I didn't even think about doing. I see videos that come on just regular social network that was pornography when I was younger. But it's not considered porn now. And then when I have actually seen some of the porn that's out here now, they ain't had that when I was younger. My God, what's going on? People inserting things into their bodies I ain't never seen before. And each 10 years, it's going to get worse. So when do we put a stop to this? When do we say enough is enough? Let's fix this. And as I said to you before, I'm a man of God. So I'm trusting that the Lord is going to grant me everything that I need to help anybody that comes to me and says, KL, please help me. And they're honest. Because the world is like that. When you really search for help, there are people out there that will help you. Now, it doesn't always come when you want it, but it'll come. And if you reach out, I'll do something. And if I don't do nothing else but pray for you because that's all I can do, then I'm going to pray for you. Because I got the most powerful thing working for me, and that's God working with me. I can't say for me. I can't control nothing that God do. But I can ask on your behalf. I can go to the God that I pray to and say, even though she don't know you, God, please, wrap your hands around her and her child. Even though he don't know you, wrap your hands around him and show that brother back home to his family. Let me tell you something. My wife caught me cheating when we were dating 3 times. And we always joke about it. That don't mean I was cheating 3 times. I got caught 3 times. I have 6 children with 5 other women. And we are happily married. And it took work to get there. You can get to wherever you're trying to get to if you're serious about it. But I needed help. I had to turn to a brother who understood the Lord. I didn't, and he helped me. I had to fix me by first acknowledging that I was effed up. And you can put whatever you want behind that F. But I had to fix me. And once I fixed me, the next thing was fix my home. So, men, you can change this tomorrow. You can call that chick when she answers the phone. What do you want? Listen. And call her by her name. Don't call her by no surname, because if y'all not cool, don't call her baby. Don't call her doll. Don't call her sweetheart. Don't call her darling. If y'all not cool, call her by her name and take the bitterness out of your voice. Cheryl, Tina, Alyssa, can you give me a couple of minutes to talk to you about and say your child's name? Let her hear you say the child's name. Can we talk about Charles? or Orion, whatever. Whatever name they're giving kids nowadays, whatever. Diamond, Alize, whatever. Can we talk? Because I want to do better. Tell her your intentions. Because once you put it out there, now you got to do it. Now you got to be held accountable, or you're going to look as corny as you was before you called. But if you tell her that you're trying to do it and you start making the steps to do it, she can slowly start to believe again. And let me tell you something, fellas, and the women ain't going to tell you this. They secretly root for you to get it together because they want this fixed. They want the family unit. They want to be in. I don't care how independent and good a woman got her life. She wants a great relationship. She wants to cuddle up and watch that movie with her head on your chest and saying, this is what I'm talking about. Knowing that their child is sleeping not too far away because it worked. We put this together the right way. So listen, as I come towards the end, we've got about 10 minutes. I have no problem that no one actually called in because it's very difficult to call in and put yourself out there because it means not only putting you out there, it means putting in the other parent out there, and I got that. But let me go through my information. So you know how to reach me, and we can start to put some things together. First of all, KL Belvin. If you don't know me by now, just get on Google and Google KL Belvin. My email is info@bravenpublishing.com. Okay? My website is www.bravenpublishing.com. And my other website is www.kltherwriter.com. My blog is klbelvin.blogspot.com. And I'm also on Twitter. I don't use Instagram because I just don't see what the need to take that many pictures is about. I don't get that part. My Twitter is author KL Belvin. So no, I'm not on Instagram because I can't take pictures of shoes, feet, and food, and my computer, and the car, and sunset, and the puppy walking across the street, and the homeless man, and someone digging in their nose on the train. I ain't got time for that. But if you really want to start making some changes, so titles of my books. My poetry book, A Man in Transition, my very first book, poetry that shows the transformation that was going on in me from the God man that I am to the whore man that I was. That's in there. From Gigolo to Jesus. That's my autobiography, my memoir, where I actually walk you through how I found pornography at 10, 11, 12 years old, and I started having sex at 12, so I actually found pornography at 10. And it walks you through how I made this transformation. Now, I may go back and redo the book because so much has happened in my life in the last couple of years. I might have to make an addendum to that, and I might. And I got another poetry book that I'm a part of called Wordplay, and it's just got some of my poems in it. And then my latest book is called Soldiers of the Cross. And my story in that book is about a teacher who's torn between having sex with women, something I know about, and what's going on inside his spirit. It's Christian fiction. It's actually the premise for my next book that's going to come out. And I'm working on a story called Josiah's Pain, which is a story about a young lady that goes through a very tragic situation when she's younger. Now it's affecting how she's actually living her life as an older woman, and it comes to some conclusion you're going to have to read for yourself. So I'm using my talents to try to open the door for conversations. This summer, I'm traveling various places to speak to women and to sell my books. But I'm looking forward to July 17th and 18th. I'll be in Youngstown, Ohio on two different nights. I'm sitting with different groups of women to have this conversation directly, as well as I'm doing a lot of different signings and different things like that. But if you have an organization, feel free to reach me. If you go to my website, bravenpublishing.com, my office number is there, voicemail. You can just leave your information and we can talk. Now, as I said, I'm a public speaker. So if you want me to come places, yes, we have to talk about the business. But let me say this to you. I will work with your budget, but please understand what being professional is about. Don't offer me some chicken and something like that, but you need me to come 200 miles, 300 miles. At least offer gas money or something towards my travel expenses. We can talk about it. I normally say pay for the hotel and allow me to sign my books, and we can work out how much you're going to pay me. Because you know what? I understand it's difficult out here. I really do. And so I'm going to work with you. All I say is don't try to stick me, because it just doesn't make any sense, because it leaves a bad taste in my mouth, and then it prevents me from helping other people. Every dollar that I make goes back into my business that I own, into what I do to help other people. And yes, I am an educator of 18 years. I have a master's degree in education, and I'm about to go back to school to work on my master's degree in counseling. So when I say I'm trying to help, I really mean that. And I have another degree in business, and I have a degree in business, and I have another degree in education. So I use all of that. And Lord knows, as I said, with the numerous baby mamas and all that, I have an idea of all the dramas that people deal with. And I'll do what I can. Now, I can't guarantee a fix. I'm not God. I'm just a person trying to represent what he's did in my life. But if I can shed some light on a dark area in your life, if I can help that brother see himself clear enough to come back and find his way, well, then I'm going to do so. Because I think sometimes if we just hold the light up and let people see that we're holding the light up, they'll come. And if anything, they'll come and just ask a couple of questions. Why are you out here? Why are you doing this? And then you can sit down and explain. So please, 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 ladies, and anyone listening to this, please share this with anybody that you believe it's going to help and tell them to reach out. And if you're on Facebook, I'm actually going to change the Facebook pages. So just reach out to me at KL Belvin, because I'm going to change my From Gigolo to Jesus page and the Making Marriage Cool Again page. I'm going to change all that because my focus has changed with the birth of my daughter. And that's KL back there singing. She wants to get it on the radio. She hears me on the radio. She's trying to tell me, Daddy, come over here and play with me and get off that radio. So I'm about to do that in a couple of minutes. So I want to say in closing, I want to thank you for taking this 2 hours out with me, going solo. I'll probably be solo for a while because I'm going to let my wife rock with our child. But I'm going to bring subjects to the table, and we're going to get right into it, and we're going to talk. And some subjects are not going to make people feel good because I'm opinionated. And if I offend anyone, and if I have offended anyone, I apologize wholeheartedly. It was not my intention to offend you. But what I am stating is my opinion and facts based on how I know them. If I have said something inappropriately, if I have said something that was offensive, just send me an email and I will gladly apologize for it because I am a man about who I am. I'm not ignorant and I'm not defensive. We can talk. So with that said, I wish everyone listening, I pray the Lord walks with you, looks over you. And if you don't know him, it might be time if things are not working out the way that you want. The God that I serve is out for everyone. But if not, continue to do the things that you do in the best health possible. I have been your host, KL Belvin, and I appreciate you taking the time out to listen to Reality and Relationships here on GQ Palace Radio. Please do not forget to support GQ Palace Radio the other nights of the week. There is some fantastic programming, and the people behind the scenes do a tremendous job, and they deserve your support. It is brothers and sisters helping brothers and sisters. And you know what? I know that you're tired of just listening to the same stuff on the radio. You're not getting what I'm saying on the radio because you got people holding that up. I ain't got no sponsors telling me what to say. I'm going to say what I want. And so definitely come and respect and support GQ Palace Radio because they have been a tremendous supporter of KL and Tiffany and now KL and Braven Publishing. And so I appreciate you and I wish you a good night. God bless.
Beautiful, yes.
Don't forget, it's going down April 27, 2014. Nonstop Media Superstar Sunday at Club of Law, 3302 Queens Boulevard. Special guest judges, Coco Chanel, Jazzy Joyce, Cuban Link, our very own featured host for the featured acts, Rich Money, our showcase host, Steph Lover. Is going to be crazy. $1,000 in hard cold cash. Also get your chance to be put in a magazine, GQ Palace Magazine, and on the air, GQ Palace Radio with your host, Rich Money. It's going down. You don't want to miss this. It's Butterbean.
Yes. It's here built from the concrete, baby. Don't get no better than this.
We've had some ups and downs. Made a lot of bad mistakes. But we've always had some good times, and through it all, you held me down. Baby, you've always held it down.
Cheek to Power, Radio.
There were times when I was afraid and wanted you to leave, but you stayed right here by my side. You never let me go, you always stayed around.
That's right,
you stayed around.
And you've been so good to me.
Whatever comes our way, you know, you and me, we gon' stay together.
Power,
we know
radio.
Each other so well. You always seem to tell when I need a little kiss and a hug and that extra kind of loving. You love me like a champion. Baby, you're my superman. Yeah.
Cheeky Power, radio.
Girl, you know just what I like. What you do, it makes me lose my mind. I just wanna give you, make love to you. Put you on a rocket flight. Keep on loving till we touch the sky.
CEO and founder of Go Further Entertainment, and also one of the co-authors of Workplace is the Foundation of Soul, a Brave and Positive exclusive. Every Thursday, I tune into Reality and Relationships from 8 to 10 on GQ Talent Radio. KL and Tiff are the best in building relationships.
Cheek to Palace, Brady Palace.